It's been a busy week. We have our new manager and we had an amazing cap game at Hampden. Jamie Tillian signs on with the Dons and we have an extended interview with our incoming manager. That's coming up later in the show, along with the thoughts of Chief Exec Alan Burrows. Your nerves may be shot after there was drama, late goals, missed penalties. It summed up an amazing Scottish Cup semi-final on Saturday afternoon as we pushed and pushed against Celtic to take the match to extra time and penalties. We have pre- and post-match reaction from Peter Leaven and Jamie McGrath on the way. And why don't we fit in a roundup of the rest of the matches in the SPFL and Highland League and the other semi-final in the Scottish Cup played today. Plus, Aberdeen Women were in action midweek and earlier today we find out how they fared against Montrose and Dundee United. In the news, we find out our last five fixtures of the season and some supporters news on the AFC Donscast on Sunday, the 21st of April. Welcome to the AFC Donscast from the Inverness Reds. It's Graham Mackay here with your weekly Dons News Roundup on Sunday, the 21st of April, 2024. Our season may have been disappointing as we confirmed our place in the bottom six for the league run-in, so we had a welcome distraction of our Scottish Cup semi-final on Saturday against Celtic. Peter Leaven and Jamie McGrath previewed the match.
Of course, that's why we play football, we coach football, we want to get to these finals to compete at the best stage. And as I said to them there, it's a great opportunity and one that we're going to hopefully take.
There'll be a good lot of fans down the road. They'll be well outnumbered. But what's your message to them going into Saturday? How important a role can they play?
They've been brilliant. Since I've been here, following us all over Europe, the League Cup final. So just get right behind us, get behind the boys and make loads of noise.
Like you can never stop backing yourself. Obviously results haven't been amazing this season and for whatever reason, but still have a lot to play for. If you gave us this chance at the start of the year, we probably would have bit your hand off to play maybe possibly two cup finals, and it's there at the start of the season. If you have a chance to win the Scottish Cup, that's the big one that you want to be involved in, and to be still in that in the last four, it's a really good opportunity for us. We've put on some good performances against Celtic. I think we should have bet them the last time here comfortably. So we can take confidence from that under Pete, that was as well. So I'm sure Pete will have us in a good way going into the game. We'll prepare really well and try and nullify their threats and expose their weaknesses. So.
No matter which way you looked at this one, Aberdeen went into the Scottish Cup semi-final against Celtic as the underdogs. But it was not as simple for Celtic as they thought it would be. A spirited Aberdeen side kept at it until the last kick of the game. And we couldn't got off to a perfect start after Boy Majoski opened the scoring in the second minute after he got behind Carter Vickers and slotted home after a neat through ball from Leighton Clarkson. But Angus McDonald's mistake in the 21st minute saw Celtic level through Nicholas Kuhn, and the Dons defender caught in possession outside his box by Furuhashi, whose shot was blocked by Gartenman. Kuhn followed up the rebound to make it 1-1. A VAR check for a Dons penalty was ruled out after a Liam Scales handball was ruled to have taken place just outside the box on half-time. As was normal for our season, we played well in a particular half, and that was no different in this match. After a barnstorming first half, we couldn't take the game to Celtic in the second. Sub James Forrest put in a second for Celtic 2 minutes after coming on the pitch in the 63rd minute. Aberdeen continued to press for an equaliser in the last 10 minutes of the game, and when we thought the game was over, Hoylett stood up a fine cross to the back post and Esther Sockler nodded home our second. So, all square in regulation time. Extra time followed. Celtic went ahead in the 105th minute after Matt O'Reilly fired a high ball past Keller Roos. That was not the end of the game, though. On 119 minutes, Hoylett swept in a teasing cross and McDonald headed home to make up for his earlier error to make it 3-3. So, penalties. Ida stepped up first for Celtic and scored. Jamie McGrath likewise for the Dons. Palma Netta next, followed by McDonald. Next up, O'Reilly and Sockler. No mistake from either there. So it was three apiece. Roos so nearly saved Paolo Bernardo's effort, but injured himself in the process, delaying Ryan Duncan's spot kick, which wasn't ideal. His strike hit the post. Celtic goalkeeper Hart to win it with the fifth penalty, but he blasted it off the left post. Hoylett still had to score, though, to take us to sudden death, which he did. Johnston rolled the ball into the corner for Celtic. Jack Milne's shot squirmed under Hart, making it 5-5. Tomoki Iwata was far more composed, lifting his effort high into the net, but Killian Phillips was less cool-headed. His low strike lacked power. Hart pounced in it, and the Dons lost out 6-5 on penalties. It was an impressive effort, and the players put everything into it, and Peter Leven was a proud manager despite the result.
Peter, I'm not quite sure what to ask after that. I think it was breathless for everyone. Painful in the end, but kind of difficult to be downhearted because of the quality of the performance.
Well, they gave everything, Rob. I can't fault their effort and their commitment. They stuck to the game plan. Yes, Celtic in the second half, they're going to pin us back at times, but after that, especially in the first half a little bit, in the second half we went toe-to-toe with them. We had chances, we had very good chances, but honestly, I can't be more proud of the boys.
I was just saying on the commentary, it was to watch that game, it was difficult to understand how Aberdeen could possibly be in the league position they're in.
Yes, and that's what I said to them there, that's the standard. To be fair, they've been great since I've been in. And I've just said to them there, get your heads up, rest, recover, and we go again Monday, because we've got five massive games in the league now.
To come back once was impressive enough. To come back twice, right, at the death in extra time, was remarkable. It told a really positive story about the heart and the spirit.
No, the spirit's there, as I said, since I've come in, and the fans were brilliant today. They never gave up, they kept on pushing us, and at times we were a better team at times. We had Celtic rattled, especially in the second half, but I'm just gutty for the boys.
There's a couple of points where I thought there was a penalty coming, the Scales handball, first half, and then that what looked like a Stonewall penalty, second half. How did you view those?
The first one, it was a handball, but he said it was outside. But the second one, he says it was a penalty, but there was an infringement before it, which I've not seen back yet. But listen, these things go for you, they go against you. But I thought overall we were brilliant, but we just need to take our chances. It's all me saying great, but end of the day, we're still not through. We need to try and get that winning mentality and take our chances when we're on top against a very good Celtic team.
It was a marathon game in terms of minutes of open play and then 14 penalties to follow it. It was getting to the stage where maybe you were going to have to go on and take one. And it's obviously really disappointing for Ryan Duncan, the one that came back off the inside of the post, and then for Killian Phillips with Joe Hart making the save. I saw you giving him a big hug. What did you say to him?
Listen, I'll never criticise anybody who wants to step up and take a penalty. Two young academy graduates in Jack Milne and Ryan Duncan stepping up. So, listen, they were brave enough to take it, and that's good enough for me.
What's your takeaway from this, and what will we get, do you think, in the final five league games?
Got to give them all the same. As I say, we're in a position we don't want to be. Five massive games, and it's starting on Saturday.
I don't know if Jimmy Tilleen was watching this today, but if he was, and or when he does, he's got a lot to work with, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's seen how the effort and the quality there is in the squad. He sent me a nice message last night. So, yeah, he should be proud of him as well.
And are you looking forward to being a part of it?
Definitely. Obviously, we're in regular contact and stuff. So, no, I'm happy with that.
How's the dressing room, Peter, just now? Just probably as I would imagine.
It's a little bit flat, but that's my job and the staff to pick them up because, as I say, we've got a massive game Saturday.
Great performance today. A lot of credit to you and the players as well, and just that painful end.
Yeah, it's a sickener at the end, but I just want to say thank you to the fans who travelled and their numbers and they never stopped singing, so thank you to them as well.
Cheers, Peter, well done.
Thank you.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
Earlier in the week, Dundee and Rangers drew 0-0 at Dens Park in Wednesday's rearranged Premiership fixture. Dundee United edged closer to the Championship title after a 4-1 win over Greenock Morton, while nearest challengers Raith Rovers were held to a 0-0 draw by Partick Thistle. Our Bros Championship journey will end this summer after their relegation was confirmed with a 5-0 loss to Scott Brown's Ayr United. Raith Rovers defeated Inverness Carly Thistle 1-0 in Friday's Championship fixture to close the gap on leaders Dundee United. No Premiership games in the SPFL this weekend, but Dundee United have all but sealed the Championship title by beating Ayr United 1-0 at Tannadice. Jim Goodwin's side are 6 points clear of Raith Rovers with 2 games to play and have a superior goal difference. Third place, Partick Thistle, saw of Airdrieonians 4-0 at Fir Hill, while the teams now are set to meet in the playoffs. Greenock Martin were 2-1 winners at relegated Arbroath, and Queen's Park stay in ninth spot following their 0-0 draw with Dunfermline Athletic at East End Park. League One champions Falkirk remain unbeaten all season after drawing 2-2 at home to Kelty Hearts. Second place Hamilton Accies won 2-1 at Montrose, and Allo Athletic secured third spot with a 3-2 success against Cove Rangers at the Balmoral Stadium. In form, Annan Athletic beat relegated Edinburgh City 2-1 at Meadowbank Stadium, while it finished 0-0 between Stirling Albion and Queen of the South at Forth Bank. Clyde remain a point adrift at the foot of League Two after a 2-2 draw with champions Stenhouse Muir at New Douglas Park. The Spartans are looking forward to the playoffs following their 1-0 win at Bonnyrigg Rose, while Forfar Athletic beat East Fife 2-1 at Station Park. Elgin City and Peterhead drew 1-1 at Barra Briggs, while it ended 0-0 between Stranraer and Dumbarton at Stair Park. Backy Thistle won the Highland League for the 12th time after beating Keith 1-0 at Victoria Park, having had to play their final 6 fixtures in the space of 13 days due to earlier postponements in the campaign. Backy's nearest challengers, Brechin City, defeated Brora Rangers 2-1 in Gosby, but it wasn't enough for them to grab the league title, losing out on goal difference. Third place Fraserburgh started 3 points adrift of Brechin and Backy, and put in a sterling effort by winning 11-0 against Strathspey Thistle. In the other games of the day, it was Clach 2, Lossiemouth 0, Devon and Vale 0, Fermartin United 3, Forest Mechanic 1, Tariff United 0, and Wick Academy 1, Banks of Dee 1. And on Sunday, in the other Scottish Cup semi-final, Rangers won 2-0 against Hearts.
Enforcement notice. Cease use of any part of the land as a restaurant or a cafe.
What? Ridiculous. All the effort we put in, and we're back on square one. You've done it all.
I've made a big decision. I'm going to make you farm manager.
Really?
Why don't we make it a competition? Who can make the most money? Me, out of unfarmed land. It's just a test. Or you, out of farmland.
This farm competition. God knows his ideas.
Simply apply the vacuum cleaner to the blackberry. I've got a new thing. Pigs.
Pigs?
It'd be fun to have little piglets running around. Oh, Christ. Where's one of the pigs been sick in my pocket?
Get the biscuits, darling. Get the biscuits.
Which one for?
Mushrooms.
Why?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Hello, goats.
If they start escaping, that...
Me!
I'm going to win this competition.
Can you feel a piglet? Oh, look! One of them is as weak as hell.
Oh, no.
You knew that was going to happen.
Are you always in common with a chainsaw? If this goes wrong, the only part of Chaddington that quite likes you, you're going to flood. There ain't
no more. All the people moving out of London. We've got Cowell, we've got Beckham, Natalie Imbruglia, Amanda Holden.
We can sell hay to their horses, trust me. This is the wheat price. It's falling.
I'm £230 up. You're minus £78,000. We've got to get rid of all health and safety equipment off the farm. It's really injuring people.
Who's that?
It's actually half of Groove Armada.
Who? Why is he drilling my field?
Holy moly!
Yeah, you can't do that.
Caleb, how are you?
You've got lovely hair.
You can't get up, pardon boy, I cause an arrow with the programme and everything.
Well, I just think, you know, with, well, I don't know, yeah.
Piglets, mushrooms and more mishaps. Jeremy Clarkson returns with Clarkson's Farm. Part 1 is available from the 3rd of May and part 2 on the 10th of May. Aberdeen Women picked up our second win in a matter of days as they beat a plucky Montrose side 3-2 at Lynx Park. The Dons were 2 up through Hannah Innes and Bailey Hutchison goals before Jade McLaren pulled one back before half-time. Hutchison grabbed a third after the break before Louise Brown made it interesting, but we held out for a 3-2 win midweek. Clint Lancaster and Hannah Innes spoke to Red TV following the game.
Clint, a 3-2 win, a deserved one in the end, although it made it difficult for ourselves right to death.
Yeah, I think we thoroughly deserve that. I think that, listen, fair play to them. They play a style of football, and it's effective, and it causes problems. We had to deal with what they did and what they had. But I felt that when we played, they could come close to us the way we played our football today. Yes, they had a few chances, half chances. First goal from a set piece that we conceded was a bit sloppy. First of all, to concede the corner, but then to give away the corner. But you know, my players were unbelievable today. The way we played football is exactly how we want to play. Through the thirds, out from the back. But Jen was brilliant. Phoebe Murray in the middle, outstanding. Hannah Innes. I name all 11. They were brilliant today. So I'm really proud of them.
The Montrose goals came at times when it looked like Aberdeen were maybe going to run away with it a little bit, both at 2-0 and 3-1. Was that just maybe a confidence thing when they lost the goals that kind of set the team back a little bit?
I think when we scored, when we went 1-0 up and then we went 2-0 up, I think we settled and we started playing some good football. I think the first 10-15 minutes were a little bit, we were trying to play and a few misplaced passes and they were cutting a few out. And then we scored the goal, which I think was a thoroughly deserved goal and a brilliant goal. Again, it's things that we've worked on in training, you know, and I thought we thoroughly deserved that. To go on again, concede and come back and concede, and just shows the character of the team and a well-deserved win.
Hannah, 3-2 win, another one in the end, but a well-deserved one, I thought.
Yeah, I thought at times we played some really good football. Our aim was to play, and I think the first 10-15 minutes we were a wee bit shaky, but we settled down, and I think you saw the way we played and spread the ball about. I think we settled well in the game, and I don't think anyone can argue about us taking away the 3 points.
It was potential, maybe running away with the game at 2-0, and then that goal really brought Montrose back into it. The same with the third goal, they kind of their second kept them but in the game right to the end. But I thought overall you must be happy enough and thought you deserved the win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a 2-goal lead is always a sticky scoreline. They also get a goal back and their tails are up, but I think we handled it really well and we go and get that third goal. But yeah, disappointed to lose that second goal. It's a bit scrappy from us, so we need to look back on that and learn. But yeah, I think, look, we controlled large parts of the game, which is what we set out to do when we came here. So yeah, I don't think anyone is too upset.
Back-to-back wins now and going into another local derby against Dundee United on Sunday, full of confidence, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Our aim is to take points from every team in this bottom six and consolidate that seventh place. So yeah, we're on a good run just now. We also need to take that momentum into Sunday. It's a quick turnaround, so we'll get back on the training pitch tomorrow. We'll look at this game and learn from the goals that we conceded, but also look at the way that we played, because I think we can take great positives from that.
Brilliant, well done.
Thank you.
Earlier today, the Dons women came from a goal down at half-time to beat Dundee United 5-1 at Foundation Park. The hosts led after Megan Steedman scored a stunning opener. The Dons fought back after Ailey Shore equalised. Hannah Stewart put us in front before Bailey Hutchison scored another hat-trick to seal a third consecutive win.
Delighted to make it 3 wins out of 3 and get a hat-trick.
Attention now turns to our game against Montrose at Pittodrie. Get your tickets now.
I'm just making the same mistakes over and over again. I'm trying, right? But when does your fucking kick in? I went to see my dad yesterday. There's no pictures of me.
Your mother and you left.
We are going to London. I'm going to take Tilly.
Do not think I'm taking that girl away from me, because she's all I've got left.
I think I'd rather burn my hand on a hot iron and do this shit with you like every night.
You're not as much of a twat as you think you are, you know.
You are, though.
You were involved with Carl Sweeney and his murder. I've got evidence. Don't make me use it. I need you to search a house.
What am I going to do with it?
I'll get rid.
Where's me gun, dickhead?
You owe me 10 grand.
Who's this fella calling the shots?
I just need something to sell.
I don't know what to do.
Someone must have died. You can sort it.
No.
I'm really hoping this is all just some mix-up, because if it's not, you're dead.
I love you.
You're not a bad man, Chris.
I'm scared.
Please!
Talk to me, Nathan.
Martin Freeman stars as an urgent response officer trying to stay on the straight and narrow, but when he crosses a top drug dealer, he starts to fall back into his old ways. Watch Series 2 of The Responder on BBC iPlayer from the 5th of May. After all the excitement from Saturday in the Cap, we turn our attention to the appointment of our new manager after the club announced that Jimmy Tilleen will be our new boss, taking charge from the summer. Jimmy becomes our 25th permanent manager and will be joined by his backroom team of Krister Pearson and Amir Bejrami. Peter Leven will also be part of the backroom team. Peter will remain as interim manager until the end of this current season. Jimmy spoke to Mal earlier in the week.
Well, Jimmy, it's a great honour for me to welcome you as the next manager of Aberdeen Football Club. Just on behalf of all the staff and all the fans as well, it's great to have you on board. Just how are you feeling, and just how much are you looking forward to the new challenge?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's a great honour to get this job, and the impression I had from the club when I meet everyone was amazing, and I feel it's a good journey for me in the next step, and looking forward to start my work there in the summer.
Jimmy, there's been a lot of speculation, so is it a bit of a relief now that the news is finally out there?
Yeah, I think it's always speculation in our world, but I think it's good to clarify for everyone so they can feel where our focus is, how we find the solution in a respectful way in Elfsborg with the changes of coaches now in the summer, and also for the Aberdeen fans to support the team and the players and Peter now in the important game in the weekend, and also the last part of the season. So it's good that everybody know what's going to happen and happening. So I think it's really good.
Why do you feel Aberdeen and also Scotland as well is the right move for you at this stage of your career? And just also, how difficult was it to leave Elfsborg? Because I know you're so well thought of there.
Yeah, I've been there for 6.5 years now, and I have a good dialogue all the time with the board and the club director, Stefan. We talk about when this time is right and the right club make an approach, I think is we can find a good solution. And when I feel the feelings I get for Aberdeen, when we talk about that, the project, the support from Dave, Alan and Stephen, I feel like it was a good opportunity. So, and also the league, I like the intensity. I like the competition, I like the speed of the game. So I think it's a good match also what the club project is from Aberdeen. So in my way, I always try to figure out what the club's searching for. And if it's, I don't want to just take a job, I need to feel like I believe in it and they believe in me and we can do this together. For you can't be alone, it's not only the manager, it's the direction the club wants to go. And I really feel like this was a perfect match, and the timing was good, and hopefully can good success for Elfsborg in the future, and also I can try to help with the staff and everybody around the club to be a part of their history in the future.
Jimmy, just how much did you know about Aberdeen? How much have you heard the sort of name over the years?
No, but I actually, it's like from my grandfather. That's a quite funny story actually, because Jönköping is, when I started coaching Jönköping Södra, it was the club of the city I was born in, and then his favorite team in Sweden was Elfsborg, and then we talk about the times with Alex Ferguson and Aberdeen and this kind of thing. So I always have it in here, and then when it's arriving, it was like, okay, it's a coincidence or whatever, but I get a feeling so strong, it's a good opportunity. And so I know not too much, but I know quite much. I have still a lot to learn.
Just, I mean, the conversation, you touched on a wee bit, just the conversations you've had with the chairman and Alan and Stephen, and I appreciate some of that's confidential, but just what did they do to sell the club to you? What you know, were you impressed with? And, you know, how do you feel that you can work with them to, you know, move the club forward?
For me, it's always important that you are genuine, that you feel like the passion they have about the feelings they have for the club. You really feel it, like they live for this club. They're going to work so hard for this club. And that's always transmitted to someone you're talking about, like you want to be there with them and trying to do a good work. It was the same when I'm signed actually for Elfsborg. I can see in the eyes how much fire they send out about the passion about the club. And I get the same feeling when I meet this kind, these persons, the chairman and Alan and they, Stephen. So that's why I get this, I want to share this passion with them and do a really good work with all the city and the fans.
Jimmy, what can Aberdeen supporters expect to see from the style of football you play? And maybe just tell us a wee bit about that your playing philosophy.
The main idea is like an attacking philosophy, and we want the fans to feel it and see it on the pitch, and the players live it. So I it's quite intense, it's quite direct. We always do everything together. We defend as a block. We're working really, really hard together, and then we have a clear direction to creating scoring chances and working like that.
And your two assistant managers are coming with you as well. Just first of all, can you tell us how you pronounce their names?
Emir Bayrami and Krister Persson.
Thank you. So just obviously two guys you have a lot of trust in, you know, to be bringing them over here as well.
Yeah, I think always when you get to a new environment, it's good to bring some part of the staff. Aberdeen also have really good staff, so we can mix our experience and work together. And also it's easier because we're going to have a short preseason and get out the message quick, and also bring some parts from the Aberdeen staff. They already have that identity and try to mix these parts. And I think it's good to have people you worked with before, but also adding new people to grow together. So I think it's a mix is always the best.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Peter Leaven is going to be part of your coaching team as well. Just a word on him. I mean, he's difficult circumstances, has done a great job over the last month or two. And just how much is he going to help you settle into Scottish football as well?
A lot, I think. You know the league, you know the players, you know the club. So I think it's going to be a really good opportunity for us to that he is going to be a part of the staff. I think it's a perfect mix. It's always also in Sweden, we also have sometimes coaches who been in the club before, and we try to mix this and get so much togetherness information as possible.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, obviously your full focus is with Elfsborg over the next couple of months. You know, got a job to do there, but I take it you'll be a keen spectator of some of the Aberdeen games as well, though.
For sure, I'm going to follow the results and I'm going to wish them all my luck. But my feeling is going to go really well for Aberdeen now, and I'm sure about that. Peter doing an amazing job, and the players and all around, all the staff around the team. So let's do that together now, and we're going to meet each other in the summer. And I have to do my... for me, it's the same as how you start things and also how you end things. It's really, really important. I really want, with the respect and loyalty to Elfsborg, to end this part of my career here in a good way and give Oscar and the players in Elfsborg a good continuity. And then I'm going to fully focus on Aberdeen.
Jimmy, just last couple of questions. You built an exceptional reputation in Sweden for player development. And obviously the side selling numerous players to clubs across the globe. I mean, is that something you're hoping to do at Aberdeen as well? And just how important is that?
Yeah, I think it's important to also keep the DNA, identity of Aberdeen. And hopefully during this journey, the players can also give a lot of success to the club before they're moving on. And it's always nice to see people grow. Players are like humans. They have to grow and then take the steps and give a lot to Aberdeen, and then they're moving on. And I think that's a good pathway, but also be focused on Aberdeen. But then if you do that well, it's going to be a one step more in the journey to other things. And also mix this with the players who have been in Aberdeen for a longer time. And this balance, I think, is really, really important in your team.
Well, Jimmy, I know you've had a lot on today, so I really appreciate you speaking to us and the fans today. And also thank you to the staff at Ellsberg as well for their help. Just finally, what message would you have for the Aberdeen supporters?
Do it together, and you have a nice game to watch. Look forward to the weekend and win it.
We'll do our very best. Jimmy, yeah. We look forward to welcoming you both to the city and obviously the football club in June. Wish you all the very best for Ellsberg till then. But, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
And Chief Exec Alan Burrows spoke to Red TV after the news about Jimmy Tilleen was released.
Delighted, Mal. It's been a very long process, I think it's fair to say that. But I think it was in part a deliberate long process because the club wanted to ensure to the best of its ability that it was going to try and get this appointment right. And that meant, you know, a very, very thorough interview process, a thorough ID process before that, you know, doing a lot of homework, both in terms of what happens on the pitch, but off it as well. So we tried to leave no stone unturned, you know, in terms of this appointment as best as we could. But, you know, today has been a combination of the hard work of a lot of people at Aberdeen FC. And I'm delighted that, you know, as by early June, Jimmy Tilleen will be our 25th permanent manager.
And in other news, Aberdeen under-18s got their league campaign back on track with a comprehensive victory over a strong Kilmarnock side on Tuesday afternoon. Two late goals made a good victory as a resounding one after the Young Dons went in 2-1 up at the interval. Alfie Bavage grabbed himself a brace on his return to the Club Academy Scotland action, with Cammy Wilson and Brendan Hamilton also chipping in. And a fantastic goal from Ellis Clark just a minute after Hamilton Accies had equalised was the difference in a closely fought match in Lanarkshire on Friday evening that saw Aberdeen under-18s head north with all 3 points and make it 2 important wins from 2 for the week. Fraser Mackey had the Dons ahead at the interval, only for Accies to equalise just after the hour mark. But celebrations for the hosts were short-lived after Clark scored almost immediately from kickoff to make it 2-1 to the Dons. The SPFL announced the post-split fixtures at the start of the week, and the final 5 games for the Dons in the bottom half of the league will see us play 3 games at Pittodrie and 2 on the road. We start this Saturday at home to Motherwell, followed on Saturday the 4th of May at home to St Johnstone. Both those matches are 3 p.m. kickoffs. We're away to Hibs on Sunday the 12th of May at Easterrod. That's also 3 p.m. with a midweek fixture against Livingston at home in the 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Wednesday the 15th of May. And our final match of the season will be away in Dingwall against Ross County. Kickoff on Sunday the 19th of May is at 3 p.m. And finally, Dons supporters can now get their hands on a pair of new retro shirts from the 1983-84 campaign. The pinstripe design, which featured from the 1982-84, covered 2 seasons of unparalleled success in the history of Aberdeen Football Club. The new shirts were first worn during the 1982-83 season, when the European Cup Winners' Cup and Scottish Cup double was delivered to Pittodrie. Ahead of the 1983-84 season, the shirts were updated to celebrate that double success, with special embroidery in place to mark glory in Gothenburg and the Scottish Cup triumph which followed. During the 83-84 season, more silverware would follow, most notably with European Super Cup victory over Hamburg, with Simpson getting his name on the score sheet alongside Mark McGee in a 2-0 victory at Pittodrie as Aberdeen became the undisputed best team in Europe. The Dons fell at the semi-final stage in the defence of the European Cup Winners' Cup, but the story didn't finish there. Under the guidance of Sir Alex Ferguson, the trophy haul continued, with the league title heading back to Pittodrie for a third time and was followed by a third successive Scottish Cup. You can get your hands on the shirts online or on the club website or in-store at the Pittodrie Club Shop.
Britain's Got Talent is back!
You've got 2 minutes to change your life.
It felt like the biggest party in town.
I need more of that.
You could win this show.
Britain's Got Talent continues this Saturday on STV, ITV, ITVX and STV Player. The league run-in starts now as we battle at the bottom to avoid any prospect of a relegation fight. We are currently our ninth on 35 points, 4 points ahead of St Johnstone on 31 points, and 5 points ahead of Ross County in the relegation playoff spot in 11th, who are on 30 points. We start that endeavour at home to Motherwell this Saturday. Kick-off at Pittodrie is at 3 p.m. Tickets for the match are on sale online at afc.co.uk/etickets, over the phone on 01224 63 1903, or in person at the Pittodrie ticket office. If you can't make it to the game and you have a Red TV International subscription, you can watch it live or audio only in the UK and Ireland. Coverage starts at 2:45 p.m. Elsewhere in the Premiership at the weekend, it's Kilmarnock versus Hearts, Ross County away to Livingston, and St Johnstone are at home to Hibs, all 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday there. And on Sunday, it's St Mirren versus Rangers at 12:30 p.m. and Dundee versus Celtic at 3 p.m. And if you want to chat about the Cap game or our new manager or anything else about the Dons and Scottish football, why not head over to the longest running Dons forum, Dons Talk, at donstalk.co.uk. I'll be back next Sunday with another roundup of Dons news. You can keep up to date with the latest score updates and match stats from the Motherwell match this Saturday on our social media at AFC Donscast or on the website at afcdonscast.co.uk. If you're heading to Pittodrie this Saturday, safe travels and enjoy the match. Meantime, have a great week and thanks for listening.
All your latest Dons news. This is the AFC Donscast.